Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Good afternoon, good morning, wherever this finds you. It's not Steve. I know I don't sound like him. This is Becky Brown, and I'm so excited that you are here, and we're taking your calls for a couple hours. 1-800-229-3000 is the number you can call, and you can talk to me. You can talk to my guest, Dr. Ron Archer, who's in Indianapolis with me, as well as Dr. Jill Hubbard, who is in California. And all kinds of wisdom is in the room.
Yes,
I just think
yes.
It's so great. And we're here to help. One of the things that I'm excited about, as I have been getting connected with Ron, yesterday on my drive home from the studio, I was listening to some of his sermons. Oh, my goodness. The man can preach, but he also can write. And he's got a great book that you can get at newlife.com called What Belief Can Do. And so, Ron, why don't you encourage our listeners with just something from the book? I know it's your testimony, and that's powerful, but go ahead and share with the callers.
You know, I wrote the book to help people break out of the prison of shame. I was so ashamed of my childhood. Mm. I'd been sexually molested with a broomstick. My mom had me when she was 17. Mm. They tried to abort me several times. I was a stutterer, a bedwetter. So I grew up with tremendous amounts of shame. But the Bible says that we shall overcome
Amen.
By the blood of the Lamb and the power of our testimonies. Mm-hmm. And what you're able to talk about, what God has brought you through, and what he does with your pain. Mm-hmm. And I learned that God could turn my pain into power and my wounds into wisdom. And I believe something authentically, that we say that by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. Mm-hmm. I believe that by our brokenness and sharing our vulnerability, people are set free. Mm-hmm. So it's my belief that everything that we have gone through in our lives is a down payment on our destiny, and that nothing is wasted. Mm-hmm. If we're willing to give that pain to God and then use that pain to help others to be eliminated from their pain. Mm. So I want people to know, don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid to share your story. I wrote my biracial family. Grandfather went to jail. Heroin addicts around us. You name it. But I refuse to be a victim. Mm. I understood the power of Jesus Christ. I came from an atheist family. Mm. But one old white lady named Mrs. Spears introduced me to the grace and mercy of God. So one person can change, not just one person, but generations. Mm. Everybody in the family is saved.
That's
now,
amazing.
Serving God, and we are on our way doing the work of the Master.
That's amazing. See, I told you he can preach.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you know, the most amazing thing about
that. I know, can we just
that,
listen to him, Becky?
Yeah,
sorry.
Ron, just take on.
Sure.
You know what I think the amazing thing is, that the power, that teacher,
yes.
who was just doing the thing, you know, just being a Sunday school teacher and equipping you.
Oh, and she brought in a big gift, and she was from Mississippi. Hi, baby.
Oh,
you in the Bible?
Gotta love our Mississippi girls. I love that. You know, and so her faithfulness to spread the word is just amazing. So I tell you, we're going to answer your calls today, and Ron's going to give you some hope. Jill's going to give you some hope, and we're all going to give you some wisdom together. And we just know that it's going to be good. It's going to be good. You know, one of the things that I want to do is say hello to our Facebook family. And, you know, we appreciate you listening
hello,
and watching today. And I usually watch there, you know that. But also, you know, you can watch us on newlife.com. And you can find all kinds of great information there as well. If you want to get Ron's book, you can call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We can also connect you with a counselor. We have so many different resources to change the story of your life. And we know that God is working in all the situations, no matter how crazy the world is right now. God is able, and you can depend on him. And we just want to go into those places that are difficult. We've got some good calls coming in already, and we want to take your call. So call us at 1-800-229-3000. And we're going to give you hope, right, Ron?
Amen. Hope means healing our people in every way.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, right. Wow.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We fixed our audio, so just don't even worry. We are going to hear from Ron for sure.
Sure.
So, but right now we're going to go to our caller, and we're going to start with Jean, who's calling us from KRKS from Denver, Colorado. Thanks so much, Jean, for calling. How can we help you today?
Yes, I have a question. I've been going through different things, and I'm trying to decide, do we, as a Christian, do we set up boundaries to keep from getting hurt? Or as a Christian, do we go the extra mile? The Bible says, you know, if they ask you for your cloak, give them your cloak. And in 1 Corinthians 6:7, it says, do not take a believer to court. Why not accept wrong and let yourself be cheated? So do we set up boundaries so that these things don't happen, or do we go the extra mile as a Christian?
Well, I'm sure everyone's waiting to hear the answer to that, because that's a good question, Jean. I'm also curious, is there a particular circumstance that this applies to that you're asking about?
Well, yes, I allowed some people to stay with me and didn't make them sign papers or anything. They said they'd pay me a certain amount. And they stayed for like 4 months. The last month they didn't pay any rent and ran up the utilities really high. And so then, you know, and one of the women was really nice and helped me because I've been going through some physical things. But, you know, I'm 82. I don't have very much money. And so it's been very detrimental to me financially. Mm. And all they can think of is how, you know, I'm wanting them to pay some money, and they don't think I should charge them anything, you know, even though they didn't pay the rent.
That works for them, but let's hear what Jill and Ron would offer to help you with this, Jean.
The first thing I would say is, if you had an agreement up front of what was their responsibility, if you don't hold them accountable, you're not helping them. That you want to be able to help them to grow in character and responsibility. So letting them off and letting them skate away without living up to their word does not help them grow. Mm-hmm. So we need to hold people responsible and accountable to their commitments. And also, you don't have to be a throw rug for anybody. Mm-hmm. That nobody can ride your back unless it is bent. People will treat you how they allow them to treat you. Mm-hmm. And it's good to be compassionate. But I have an old saying in our ministry. If a person is drowning or in a morse and I can't pull them up, I can't let them pull me down, because we're both in the same pit and we can't get out. So thank God for your heart and your motive, but you need to hold them accountable and responsible.
Mm-hmm. And Jean, you know, go ahead.
The other thing, in Colorado, the person that rents, or, you know, they don't have the law behind them. The people that are renting have the law behind them more than the other people.
Okay, Jill?
Okay, which that's unfortunate, Jean, because then you get in a situation where you do have squatters and it's hard to get them out. Jean, I think, you know, a lot of times people use this against Christians, that, you know, we're supposed to just love no matter what, and that loving means we just are passive, right? And that, I think, as Ron was pointing out, that's not always the loving thing. You know, you give to people, but when people take advantage, you know, we can't wink at wrongdoing. And it is important to say, no, this doesn't work for me, and to establish a boundary, because, again, it's the loving thing to do for both sides. And so when you allow people to take advantage of you, you're really allowing sin to flourish. And that's not something that the Lord condones.
Well, and Jean, I wonder if you have some friends or family that know about the situation so that you're not doing this on your own. Do you have that in your life? You have friends or family that are aware of this?
I'm pretty much doing it on my own, and I did have a therapist who came over and helped me, you know, pack up their things, and which was a big help, and I called my son, and he didn't want to come. But, you know, and, you know, I told them, yes, I am a Christian, but that's no sign I should be taken advantage of.
Right.
And they said, well, I'm sorry you feel you were taken advantage of. So do I need to specifically tell them, you know, what they owe and,
and well, that would be... You can tell them. The hard part is, though, Jean, you may not get it. I think the most important thing here is that you would have protection. Like, I would want for you to have some good connections in your community, people who can care for you if something like this comes up again. I think it's fine to ask them, but I'm concerned that you're by yourself.
Right.
Do you have a church family that you belong to? Do you have a pastor? And do you have members of your church that love you and care for you? Because that's where the body of Christ shows up in times like this. Do you have a church home?
Yes, I do have a church home. But
oh, sweetie, that's where you go now. That's where you go to ask for help. Go to your pastor, and he will put some loving people around you to help you and sustain you. We're not supposed to do this Christian thing in a vacuum.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Well, we thank you so much, Jean, for calling, and we'll send you a copy of Take Back Your Life.
Oh, that's good.
I think that'll be a good one.
But can I just, Becky, you address, you know, what you were asking Jean about asking them for, you know, telling them what they owe you. I think that you can do that. You can say, this is what I feel like I'm owed. This is what it would be on an ongoing basis. And if that's not agreeable to you, then this is not a workable situation.
Right.
You know, you just be very, very clear that this doesn't work for me to have you in my home when you're not willing to contribute, regardless of what they say, that's your bottom line.
Right. And, you know, here's the thing. There is good things, like Ron said, that can come from having that good boundary, that they learn to take responsibility. So we'll be praying for Jean and hope that it goes better. We're going to talk to Jack, who's calling us from Washington, D.C., and we're going to continue taking calls. So you can call us at 1-800-229-3000. He listens on WAVA. We love that station. Love all of our stations, but we got some good people over there in WAVA. Jack, how can we help you today?
Hey, good afternoon. Good morning. A daughter in her mid-20s, and a few years ago learned about some self-harm, and she's some alcohol dependency and things like that. So it kind of varies, I guess, the idea of going to rescue and help out and try and take care of things. We've had her to some a little bit of psychology, some prayer ministry and some things of that nature, and really find, you know, when she's, there's that old phrase about there's a demon in the bottom of your bottle. Her personality completely changes. And I guess looking for wisdom to kind of walk her through and walk her out. To my knowledge, I mean, her mother was raised in kind of a rougher home, and we chose to honor the Lord with our home the best we could, but trying to walk through this and a little challenging.
Yeah, it is challenging. Is she living with you, Jack?
Currently, she's with a boyfriend who seems to be, you know, he probably makes twice as much money as I do, and he's got money all over the place, but then he kind of uses her alcohol against her to... she's had recordings, you know, just I don't know that he's necessarily abusive, but definitely verbally abusive. So she's about an hour away.
Okay. Your heart is broken, and it's good that you're calling.
Is she asking for help, Jack?
You know, she works, and then she basically can't go to work, so covering her on, you know, some accounts and helping her with the doctor bills or aligning, like, the bank loan for the car. And so, like, she's, you know, she's a huge heart, an artist, very functional when she's on top of things, but when the triggers start, then it's kind of a waterfall.
But she's not asking for help for the alcohol or her living situation, right?
It's kind of a, I guess the answer is no. Okay. And then we have discussions when she'll try to stop, and then she'll be honest and say she doesn't want to stop drinking.
Right.
Helps numb the pain or.
Sure.
So it sounds like you're in a lot of contact with her, which I think is a good thing. It's really, you know, as a family member, it's painful to witness, but having that connection is a good thing. I mean, she's not asking for help. She's in a situation where it doesn't sound like you are financially supporting her. So really trying to connect and listen for those moments when she is more open to getting help. And you know, being able to just, one, hear her, but talk to her about, you know, who she is, the good things in her, what would her future self want? What does she look forward to? And is what she's doing getting her there? And then also about the pain, right? Tell me about the pain, you know? Tell me about how hurt you feel. I really want to understand that, because part of that is, you know, being able to use people to soothe instead of chemicals. But understand, it's a long battle, because those chemicals hijack your brain. They work faster than anything else to get you to a place where you're checked out.
I would say too is that when you talk with
about the self-harm piece.
Self-harm.
What do you want to say about that, Jack?
I'm following with the alcohol piece. When she described, I don't know how transparent to be, but when she describes the self-harm thing, she describes, you know, trying to look up and study it, and that, I don't know the definition, but somehow there's a mental release when these things happen, and I'm trying to get my head around helping that. And
So emotionally, she gets flooded. And it's too much for her to process, right? So, you know, one way to look at it is that then all the focus goes into the self-harm, which then is a physical pain versus an emotional pain. And so that's where her focus and energy goes, and then it's like she can handle it. So it is very similar to addiction, right? You know, it could be food, sex, alcohol, drugs, right? The self-harm works in a similar way, but it's that feeling. People feel relieved when they have.
And and even like what you said about the alcohol, Jill, the thing is, when we're carrying pain inside of us, we're going to seek help, and whatever's quick is where we're going to go first, unfortunately. Right. And sometimes that gets us, you know, stuck there. And for self-harm, people do it because it works.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, unfortunately, it's not a good pain relief, but it is a pain relief, which seems so contrary to how we think about it, because we think, why would you want to hurt yourself?
Right.
But it's a release. And until the next time, till all those internal feelings start building up again. And the same with the alcohol people drink, because it just is a numbing agent.
Right. And, and then the other piece, though, to self-harm, too, is that when they have numbed out, then there's a piece of it where they want to feel alive, right?
Yes.
And if they bleed, then they're alive.
Can I ask this, Jack? How are you helping yourself? How are you getting help for the stress that you're in? Are you seeing a therapist or a coach? Because their caregiver can be drained and overwhelmed. Yeah. And I hear your emotion. I feel your passion for this beautiful person that you love. But I want to make sure that you're taking care of you, because there will be an opportunity possibly where she may want to reach out, and you'll have connections and people that you can turn her on to that are helping you to fortify yourself to be a great life raft when it's necessary to help her float to a land of healing. So what are you doing for you?
You know, actually, I'm more concerned for my wife, but I was like some things happened in the family with other members, and then all the pain that she'd been rid of all comes back all over again. So I guess as stupid as it is, honestly, TikTok is a great distraction. Puppies and funny music.
Well, you don't want to stay distracted too long, Jack.
That's right.
We want you to get into the healing process. And I think actually a good book for you would be Healing is a Choice, because it'll help you understand that process that that you need, that she's going to need in order for you to move forward. Mm-hmm. And, you know, listen, we're still taking calls because I know that there are more people out there, just like what you're talking about, Jack, that are struggling, and we're here to help.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. It is Becky Brown, joined by Dr. Jill Hubbard in California and Dr. Ron Archer right next to me in Indiana.
Yes.
We are answering calls, and your call can be next if you call us at 1-800-229-3000. We have a ton of things to help you with. One of the things that Steve's been doing is called Going Deeper, and you can watch it on Facebook Live every day at 5 p.m. Eastern, or you can catch some of the back episodes on our YouTube channel. And the YouTube channel also is where you can find older versions of New Life Live, everything from yesterday's show all the way back to, well, I mean, some of the classics are on there, right? I mean, it's just great. It's great information. But also, we have Finding Freedom this weekend. It's a one-day workshop where Steve and Chris Williams will be presenting, and we're going to cover all of the things that are keeping you stuck to get you unstuck, because we all need to get moving. You know, one of the challenges that we have in workshops when we do them in person is people say, well, it's too far, it's too much, I don't want to travel. But guess what? We took care of all of that because it's all online. So if you call today, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, you can find out about your spot. You can register. And if you need some help, we do have some scholarship money available. And we just don't want you to miss out on your life. And so connect with us today on Finding Freedom. Right now, we're going to talk to Cecilia, who is calling us from Edgewood, Maryland, and she listens on the app, and you can listen on the free New Life app. Go to your app store, wherever you get your apps, and you can download it for free. You'll look for the little tree logo, and you can listen to New Life Live there, just like Cecilia, but we also have great resources, everything from tip sheets. If you're part of Club New Life, you can listen to the Club New Life Library, and I will stop talking so Cecilia can ask us the question.
Hi, Cecilia. Impossible.
Yeah, I know. Well, I got lots of words. Thank you, Cecilia, for calling. How can we help you today?
Hello, everyone. I listen to you guys almost every day, or either I go with my iPad and listen to old shows.
Yay.
I have called several times for the same thing. And
okay.
Eventually, in 2016, we went to Marriage and Intimacy, and it didn't work for us, but I got a lot out of it. I'm 66, and all these years, I just found out in 2016 that my love style was vaselinator.
Okay.
So I have been talking to my husband, writing my husband letters about the same thing. No intimacy. We've been married for 15 years, and I've been going through this for 10 years, and I feel like I'm on this merry-go-round. When it stops, I get off, and everything is okay, but then it comes back up. There's no consistency, and I try to let him know that I need to be touched, not with sex. I need to be felt. I need to be kissed. I have told him all this, and it seems like nothing is happening. I read the book, How We Love, because I bought it when I was at the workshop, and now I went back to my workbook that I got from you guys and was reading about me, and it's telling me to accept reality. Say this daily, Lynn. Say this daily. Today won't be as good as I think
That's
it will
right.
be when something goes wrong. This
right.
isn't as bad as I think it is. Mm-hmm. I want to be obedient to God because I want to do the right thing, but I find myself always struggling that, oh, I can call John Doe and, you know, I can hear what he's saying about me, da-da-da-da-da, and I don't want to do that. I want to be obedient to God and to my husband.
All right.
My question is, do you think I need to talk to a counselor about me?
Yes. that's the quick answer,
yes.
Cecilia.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing. Okay. What we do know about vacillator, right? We mm-hmm. know that that is the attachment style, that it's like it's either all good or all bad. And I love that you said that quote, because we tell everybody that. It's not going to be mm-hmm. as good as I think it's going to be. It's not going to be as bad as I think it's going to be. So I want to find out from Jill and Ron what they suggest. But the short answer is, yes, you need to work with a counselor. The two of you do. That would be the next step forward. Jill, what would you have?
Okay.
To?
Well, and
he's not going to. So that's why I said.
Okay, because yeah. he's. I think it says he's an avoider. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you know this is one of those combinations that it's like the person who wants the least wins, right? And with a vacillator, you're always trying to get to kind of match your perfect picture of what you feel like life is supposed to be like, right? And that's mm-hmm. where adjusting those expectations. Okay, you know, with mm-hmm. an avoider, you can't charge an avoider. And so the more that you are pursuing, they are avoiding, right? So there's something mm-hmm. that doesn't feel safe to them. And some of it may be the expectations, right? That they feel like they can't live up to, and that something is always not right. And this is a trap.
He said that.
Yeah.
He said that before.
Yeah, and we women typically fall into this kind of thing anyway, where we try to criticize our relationships into health, and that mm-hmm. that doesn't work, and it really doesn't work with an avoider. So I think some counseling would help you to shift how you approach your husband and to look at some of those unmet needs and lost expectations that you've had, you know, to deal with that disappointment in life.
So we're going to hear from Ron after the break, but I want to add this to the part about the counselor will also help your husband feel like there's a safe place for him to be able to talk about what's going on inside of him. But that takes a little bit of work. So we'll be back after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of 7 books, including Conquer Worry and Anxiety by Dr. Daniel Amen, Healing is a Choice by Steve Arterburn, and Forgiving What You'll Never Forget and Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life, both by Dr. Dave Stu. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are talking to Cecilia, who is doing all the things, all the right stuff. And so, Cecilia, Ron wants to offer you his opinion on this. And
let me give a point of view from this part of the sphere. Number one, there's an old saying, you can lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink, but you can make them thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? We guys, we can become very fragile, very insecure, and we retreat to our little cave to find safety and security and stability. So one of the things that I recommend is that you go to your therapist or your counselor, and you let your husband know that if he needs to go to talk to this person, talk about you mm-hmm. and what may be some unspoken things that he feels that is difficult for him to deal with. Because we're we're all little boys inside trying to be men. Mm. And there's something that he's struggling with. And how old is this wonderful man of yours?
He's 65. I'm 66.
He'll be 66
in October.
Okay. And, you know, our bodies change. Our ability to love changes. There's some real challenges that we men have once we get past 55. And sometimes avoidance is a way not to underperform. Mm-hmm. So you may want to get his testosterone checked out, see how he's doing physically. Because many times we men, I'm going to tell you, as a guy who's now 57, you know, I'm not 21 anymore. And sometimes avoidance is protection.
Good point, Ron. Yep. Good point. Mm-hmm. Well, we appreciate you calling, Cecilia, and we'll be praying for you. I know you already got the How We Love book, so maybe we'll send you the Secrets of the Mediterranean. How about that? Because eventually, you guys are going to get it back together, and it's going to be worth
Amen.
It. So we'll be praying for you. But right now, we're praying for Larry Sonnenberg, who's joining us in the studio.
I need all the prayer I can get.
Well, you know, I've been meaning to tell you that, but no. Larry, how can we help you feel
well,
better today?
I want to talk to folks who have not yet signed up for Club New Life.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a new thank you gift. Now, I hope the thank you gift isn't the only reason you want to support us. But if it's a beginning and we can get you on board, that's what we want to do. And that thank you gift are these seven books. Conquer Worry and Anxiety by Dr. Daniel Amen. Take Your Life Back and Healing as a Choice by Steve Arterburn. Forgiving What You'll Never Forget and Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life by Dave Stoop. The Emotional Freedom Workbook, that's Connie Neal and Steve Arterburn. And then Growth Has No Boundaries, Henry and John. So it's a wonderful package. Mm-hmm. There won't be much you won't need to... Well, you won't need to call the program anymore if you read these
yes,
books.
Yes, you will. You'll call and say, thank you for helping me join Club New Life. That's what you'll do.
Right.
Well, and here's, let me just read a quick short testimony. I called you the other day, and you gave me much insight and wisdom and helped me see reality. My burden was lifted. There's work to be done. I'm a Club New Life member and will increase my giving. My husband and I went to intimacy and marriage. Amazing time. Healing began there. Words can't express my gratitude. I tell everyone about New Life. Mm-hmm. So, folks, that's what this ministry does. Mm-hmm. So if you can support it, we'd appreciate it immensely. The people who get the help will appreciate it. And
that's
so
right.
Thank you all for giving. And if you're a Club New Life member, increase your monthly giving $10, and you'll get the same thank you gift.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Becky. Larry. And thanks for all of our Club New Lifers who help us each and every day. And we just want to say thank you. And you, too, can be part of that family. Right now, we're going to talk to Stephen, who's calling us from Coronado, California. He listens on the Internet. And we're just grateful you called, Stephen. We're going to continue to take calls. So if you are thinking you need to call, you need to do it now. 1-800-229-3000. Stephen, how can we help you today?
Well, first, I really appreciate you taking my call, and also I want to thank everybody there for the just the kindness and support and the books that I've been given. I'm really grateful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. My question is about shame, specifically directed to Ron. I guess started early. I was raised by a Marine and a Navy officer, and about 5 years old when I started to get a mind of my own, I was kind of shut down. But then issues that they had with toxic families growing up or whatever, I don't know, looking back now, it's, you know, even though we can never really see how things were at the time, but I guess hindsight's 20/20, but sometimes I feel like I was scapegoated, especially initially just, I think it was around puberty when things came to a head. But I ended up eventually seeing a child or teenage psychiatrist, and he didn't really know what to do. That was after being sent to a guidance counselor in the first year of high school that had issues at the time, and evidently had had several suicides before he saw me, and then I was directed to the head of the counseling thing, and she's the one that just didn't have the time, so they referred me out, and... Anyways, so, one thing led to another, but the shame is relating to, for me specifically now, and still struggling to let go of the ball and chains that tied me up for obviously quite a while. because I'm not getting any younger either. Oh, pardon me. Let me take a break. I'm kind of like
right.
with Larry. I need all the help I can get, too.
Well, Stephen, how about, do you want to ask a question and then Ron can answer it for you?
Well, yeah, I wanted to know, I think a lot of my shame, and please don't take this wrong, because, I mean, our mental health system is the best it is for now, and that's the reality, but I have a different perspective on things, and believe it or not, most of my shame is related not only to the abuse, whether physical or mental, growing up, but it's and the impact of it, but is the mental health system has created more, has reinforced more of the stigma than anything else in my life.
Okay.
In other words, trying to even get help to let go or get rid of it has even impacted me more because it seems to keep it alive.
Okay.
And I have, and I guess, let me to summarize, instead of being raised by wolves, I was pretty much, because I couldn't talk to either of parents about anything important or emotional because they were kind of shut down, or be loved in the way they were never given. They never got what I never.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
They didn't have it to give.
Stephen, I think we get a good picture of that. Let's hear from Ron. Let's hear what Ron you would offer, Stephen.
I understand that position so well, and I feel your pain, your anxiety. I was a severe stutterer and a bedwetter and sexually abused with a broomstick, man. So I get where shame comes from. Matter of fact, I was such a bad stutterer. They had a poem about me. His name is Renardo. He is a retardo. He sits on the steeple. When he talks, he spits at the people. Mm-hmm. And what really helped me break out of my shame to be able to walk in the light of self-love and self-esteem is understanding how God viewed me. And I want you to know that God uses greatly those who've been wounded very deeply. Man's rejected is God's selected. So instead of listening to that tape in your mind of what your parents said or didn't say or didn't give, begin to ingest into your psyche what God says about you. That everything you've gone through is a down payment on your destiny. You have a purpose and you're here by divine design. God knows the worst things about you. He loves you. He made you to be a winner and not a quitter.
Thank you so much. I think we're going to send Stephen a copy of your book, Ron, What Belief Can Do. And I think that that's going to minister. Go ahead, Jill.
I think that would be a great book to send. Can we also send Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers?
That's a great book by Dr. Jill Hubbard as well. And I just think, you know, so many of us are carrying that pain that shame.
Yes.
And what you just said is that it's that decision of this is not how it's going to be anymore.
That's right.
I think many times, and Jill, I know we talk about this in counseling all the time, where people are saying, you know, I can't forget what happened to me back then, because it's so horrendous.
That's right.
Right.
And yet you're missing out on the present because the past is right with you the whole entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there are callers that aren't calling but are listening, that are listeners.
Yes.
That are struggling in that same
pit.
That's right. So I don't know. Go ahead, Jill.
There's this fixation with the story, and it's as if that if we don't keep it alive, that somehow that child in us will be lost and nobody will remember, nobody will recognize.
Yes.
And so we're trying to resolve it by holding on to it instead of allowing God to penetrate our hearts. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, yeah, we know about God, but no, really taking him in and really taking his words in, not just letting them bounce off.
Mm-hmm. And I don't want you to have the mindset of terminal uniqueness, that we become so unique becomes terminal, that you're the only one. I want you to know I'm like you. Mm-hmm. I understand you. Mm-hmm. I walked in your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
But the gospel of Jesus Christ, good counselors, good mentors can help you turn those wounds into wisdom. You're not alone, my friend.
Mm. And you know, each of us need to be reminded of that on a regular basis.
Yes.
And we have to really fix our minds on what is true, right, noble.
That's right.
You know,
Philippians.
Yeah, Philippians 4, 6, and 7.
That's right.
What we've got to do. And also prayer is talk to the Lord about these things. And it's a combination of all those things that will renew our mind. And then we have a testimony.
That's right.
That will then help someone else who's feeling in that same way. We're all in this together.
Yes, ma'am.
And the great thing about the Word of God is that it's forever. Like, it just keeps giving. And we're glad you called, Stephen. I know that this is a struggle, but I also know that there is hope, and we're going to be praying for that. We'll be back in a minute, and we'll take your calls.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We are still taking your call, so call us at 1-800-229-3000. And you can listen to us on the New Life app, which I mentioned before. But we also, we're on all of the social media stuff. You know, we are there not just to, you know, shout the name of New Life, but really to give help to people all the time. So if you're watching us on Facebook Live, share that with your newsfeed, because it makes a difference. You never know how it's going to encourage somebody. Now, Ron had another thought that he wanted to share.
Yeah, one of the things I learned being an NFL chaplain, sometimes players can be so gifted and think that the rules don't apply to them because they're so good. And we call that terminal uniqueness. I am so unique, it becomes terminal. Now, in relation to what we're dealing with today, we can think that our pain is so great, and it may be, and our abuse was so bad, and it probably was, that we think we're the only ones who've been treated this way. And that's what the devil wants you to think. Mm-hmm. It's only just you. But you know what? There are many who are just like you. Mm-hmm. And together we can overcome, because we have come over on different ships, but we're in the same boat now. So hang on. Help is on the way.
I love it. It is on the way. God is faithful. And we are just so appreciative of your insight and your wisdom, Ron. We are going to go to the phones again. We're going to talk to Patty, who's calling us from Erie, Pennsylvania. She listens on Sirius XM. We are so grateful for your call today, Patty. How can we help you?
Hi. Thank you so much for all you do, and bless you for all you do. My husband and I have been married for 39 years. I've known him for 40. I have filed for divorce. We have been separated for 13 months now. All throughout our marriage, from the very beginning, he really hasn't included me pretty much in his life, made me a partner. He owns several businesses, and he really never discussed or included me on any of the major business decisions, if he was starting a new business or an addition to a business that he already has. I have talked to him many, many times. I have told him that I have heard even our own pastor talk about it. I've heard other pastors on the radio talk about you need to include your spouse in major big decisions. I'm grieving this. I'm grieving this very badly that this marriage is dissolving, and it's not what I thought it would be. He has gone to counseling on his own. He went for a while, but then he stopped going because he said that why should he continue to go to a counselor and pay money for someone to tell him what to do? So my question is I'm totally leaning on the Lord. I've had many doors open for me. God has just led me to the right people at the right time. My question is, your opinion on this. What? How do you feel about this? I feel that I am on the right road in doing this. I don't want to see my marriage end, but he is really not willing to change his ways, and not really work on his problems.
Okay,
and,
Patty.
He's always pretty much done what he's wanted to do. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think we get a good picture of the question, and we've just got some short time left before the end of the program. But Jill or Ron, how would you address Patty's situation?
Well, Patty, I'm sorry that you're in this position. I mean, 40 years is half a lifetime that mm-hmm. you've been with this man, and this has been an ongoing problem.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm imagining that you've done everything that you can possibly think of to do. A lot of times, though, that's the problem. We only do what we can think of to do. And, you know, I'm hoping that you have brought in counselors and have been working with someone before coming to this conclusion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I have. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Ron,
I
do you have anything?
Yes,
can
a lot of thought, a lot of prayer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, just remember that every major miracle in the Bible began as an unsolvable problem. Mm. And things that we cannot do, the Lord has a powerful way to do it. And I heard you say you hate it to end.
Yeah.
And I pray that as you seek your pastor and your counsel, you allow room for the miracle working power of God to do that which we cannot do.
Mm-hmm. You know, Patty, just like what Jill said, you may have to think outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things that we talk about all the time is that you can't quit until you've done everything. Because if you quit before, then you'll regret not doing the thing that you didn't think of. And so, and you know, I have all kinds of questions, but I would encourage you, the two of you, before the end of this, to sit with a third party. And don't go in with the idea that we're going to fix this, but literally go in with a curious mind. What have we not addressed? What are we missing here? What are we missing?
Mm-hmm.
And because it sounds to me, Patty, like your heart was broken. You feel a betrayal.
Yeah, abandoned by him.
Yeah.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
He's living a separate life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
And he's not responding. Yeah. He sounds frustrated because it sounds, you know, he sounds like, well, why should I do this if they're just going to tell me what to do? So he's got this unwilling spirit, but that could be defense.
Mm-hmm. Protection.
You know, and I would encourage you just to, I know that sounds exhausting, but you can do this with the help of other people. And so I would just encourage you to keep doing that. I would like to send her How We Love.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'll be helpful. If you're on the phone right now, hang on, because we are going to tape another show. And if you still have a question, you can call us at 1-800-229-3000. But in the few minutes we have left, I would love to have Ron share some scripture and hope for us for the end of this particular show. But hang on if you're on the calls.
Yeah, I like to remind us that when the nation of Israel was going into the Babylonian captivity for 70 years, Jeremiah said something profound. They're going into a time where they didn't understand. The temple was destroyed. They were taken the best and the brightest into captivity. And Jeremiah said in 29:11, the Lord said, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, and offer you a hope and a future. That Jesus said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I want you to know that everything you're going through, God will use it for his glory, your good, and the growth of his kingdom. When your mother and father forsake you, the Lord will pick you up. And that crisis is an opportunity to see God show up in a way you would never know. God is not just knowledge, he's an experience. And sometimes the Red Sea will come. And I like what Moses said. Look at these Egyptians who are chasing you. You shall see them no more. Listen to what he said. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Three S's. Stand and the promises of God. Be still in the peace of his covering. He says also, look and see the salvation. God has not forsaken you nor forgotten you.
I love it. I love it. What a great reminder today, and I hope that's encouraging. I look forward to answering more calls in this next hour with the two of you. And just a reminder, we have Finding Freedom this Saturday, August 8th. We are going to do that online workshop. We also have our Everyman's Battle online workshop, which is August 15th. And what an incredible time for you to make that decision as a man to have a life of integrity and to connect with other men so that your family will have a legacy of someone who is living a life of purity. And, you know, and it's more than just just behave. It literally is the healing from the inside out. That's what we do at Every Man's Battle. You can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE for more information. Thank you so much, Jill. And thank you, Ron.
My pleasure.
For those of you who are holding on, hold on, because we're going to answer your calls in a minute. Thank you all for listening. God bless you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.